And hello everyone, welcome back to Trolling with Logic, hopefully tech problem free for, it's the 9th of December guys, if I'm right, yep.
Yes,
it is the 9th of December, you have your dates correct.
Yes, we got it. So this is the postponed live pwnage from last week. We're going to be doing something a little bit different. We're going Islamic creation, and not only that, they're women as well. But, and introducing my team, we are a little thin on the ground right now, but people will be turning up during the pwnage. So, as always, Kitch.
Hey, guys.
And Kitch, I see you're using protection this time.
Yes.
You have to with these particular individuals. You have no idea where they've been.
And as always, the Riddler, Big Lundy.
And greetings to everybody.
So, just a quick note, as everyone's probably known, very sad, quite sad news today. Patrick Moore, host of BBC Sky at Night, passed away today. He will be sorely missed. I mean, he was host of that program for 50 years. I think he has the record for being the one host, the longest host on one program ever in the world. So, a great, great loss. He wrote fantastic books on astronomy, a fantastic presenter, and he'll definitely be missed. I think Kitch, you were aware of him as well.
Yes, though not as much as I should be.
Yeah, he was. It was pretty much more a kind of Britain kind of thing he was known for. Anyway, without further ado, we'll crack on with the live pwnage. Everyone knows we'll be playing clips from this video. And once my esteemed co-hosts notice any small errors, they'll shout stop and they'll analyse whatever errors that come in. So, are you ready, guys?
Yes, all sharp objects are out of my room, and Sulu has made sure that he's taken away my cyanide capsules.
Yes, and Lundy, ready to go?
I am ready and raring to go.
Okay, 3, 2, 1, and clip is rolling.
Assalamu alaikum, dear brothers and sisters. Today we are here with in our studio, A9 Studios. We are here with our sister Zeynep, sister Dolunay, sister Dilem, sister Günen, and I'm Gizem. Today we will talk about scientific repetition of Darwinism.
What are they, quadruplets?
And faith-related topics. First of all, let's start our conversation with sister Zeynep. What are we going to talk about
yes.
today?
Yes, many living things, as we know, conceal themselves by taking the color of their surroundings or by their camouflage abilities. However, the impersonation, some species impersonate themselves by taking the shape of some other species. And this is something new, something that the scientists recently have found. And as it's known, the octopus has tens of thousands of sacs, which are called chromatophores, and in its body. And the octopus can shrink and lose these sacs to look like the background color, or the background image. However, the mimic octopus also changes its form and its appearance, and it imitates the other animals. It can color itself like the colors of a lionfish, and then it bravely swim away after enlarging its 8 arms around its body, and resembles the poisonous thorns of the lionfish. Or something else, it can place its head and its 7 arms in a triangle form, so it takes the shape of a tortoise string away and moves along the sea surface, and its 8 arm is taking the shape like a tail behind this triangle. Or it can jump into sand hills and look like a poisonous sea anemone, and hold its arms in a zigzag position.
Can we stop for a moment?
At the picture, so we can.
So, first things first. I have no idea what the point is that they're trying to be making here. It's not making any sense to me. Animals can perform like little acts to make themselves look like other animals, apparently, and that's supposed to do something. I don't know. But what I really want to focus on right now, because this is going to be one of the most prominent things throughout this whole video, is take a look at these four women. What in the hell is wrong with them? Like, they look like they've been through so much plastic surgery that they don't even have faces anymore. Like, it's just skin. It's skin and, like, puffed-out lips used from the fat of their asses. It's ridiculous. And they're using way too much fucking makeup. Like, they have to have 2 pounds of makeup on per person. Plus, you've got the hair. It all looks all crinkly and crackly, like they've been spraying an entire bottle of hairspray onto it. What is wrong with these women? Yeah, it's insane.
I'm going to get it out of my system with this one sentence. The Joker had a better makeup than these good people had.
Yeah, I'm just going to have to quote what Loudmaid just said in the chat there, the Stepford Muslims.
The Stepford Muslims. I can totally get behind that particular analysis.
And welcome in Marty.
Or as he is currently, Lucius Fox.
Yes.
Yes.
Probably one of the silliest. This is a short tangent that I want to go off of. But Lucius Fox is probably the stupidest fucking character in Batman.
That may be, but I always have to play the black guy, apparently.
Yeah.
So,
because you're the whitest guy out of all of us, so no. It just made sense.
Yeah.
Does anybody remember The Dark Knight with the Joker?
Yeah.
When Lucius Fox quits Wayne Tech because I can't handle the fact that you're using these cell phone things to fucking pinpoint people's locations. He's the one that set him up. He set up the stuff that he is ethically against in the first place. And then, after he already set it up and let Batman go ahead with it, now he's going to quit. What a retard.
All right. Shall we roll on?
Sure.
Can see more details about how this happens. On the left side, this is the mimic octopus. And on the right side are the animals, which it looks like. As we can see, they are very alike. And not having a heart in interior and outer skeleton gives this being a body structure that allowed him to imitate and take the form of the other animals. This behavior displayed by the octopus, which has no conscience and no brain, of course, is very interesting and is a result of our Lord's control over all beings, over all animals. However, what
Stop.
Is more...
Yeah, she finally got to the point.
Citation needed.
They just kind of slip that one in there, just kind of all sneaky and everything. Just so they go off for a long period of time about how the octopi can just kind of contort themselves this way and that. And this signifies the Lord's control over all things. And now we're going to move on. Like, wait a minute. What did you just say?
whoa. Whoa. What? Let's rewind there a couple of seconds, basically.
All right. Roll on.
More interesting is the existence of a fish which take the advantage of an octopus and which run away from its enemies and is going away from its hunters by imitating the fish. This fish is called jawfish and it is swimming around the octopus. And it tries to take advantage by this octopus. We can see the image of this fish.
Yes.
As we can see, they are identical. It's not possible to see which one is the jawfish and which one is the octopus. It is, of course, very interesting that an octopus with, as I said, no wisdom and no conscience, imitate the fish.
But, stop. An octopus doesn't have any conscience. Just doesn't have the ability to think, apparently.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure they can think.
Yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Kit, you're the biologist here. Isn't the head of the octopus essentially one giant circle around a brain?
As far as I know, yes, but I'm not really a marine biologist. If you had Arge here, you'd probably know more about it than I would.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure octopus, they have shown some degree of problem-solving ability.
Yeah, I mean, they're not humans, obviously. Right. They're not capable of, like, doing complex calculus or anything like that. But they're still capable of going, hey, I should probably look like this so that I can stay away from my predators. Yeah. I mean, that's not difficult to understand. Plus, she sat there with a picture of them going, as you can see, it is impossible to tell which one is the fish and which one is the octopus. Even without the labels, I would be able to pick out the fish. The octopus isn't freaking perfect. In its camouflage.
Another problem is that behaviors evolve. I mean, they're sort of missing out on that part.
Yeah.
It's like they're assuming that all behaviors are the result of, you know, thinking through your actions.
Yeah.
And that's just not true.
Like, they don't have to sit there and go, well, what if I did this? What would be the effect of that? And what would do... Like, they're not sitting there doing economics with their body, with their energy at that moment. But that's not necessary in order for them to have some sort of effective camouflage system. And then you have hunters who evolve to be able to look past the camouflage system in some way. Like, I can't name any specifics. You got wolves, for land animals who, use their noses more than their eyes to understand what it is that they're hunting so that they don't have to worry about, daytime, camouflage because they can just sniff out their prey instead of having to look for them. And then in marine animalia, a lot of the hunters have evolved to lure the prey to them instead. So they don't even have to look for them.
Okay.
What is more important, what is more interesting here, is the existence of a fish which knows the existence of such an octopus and which knows that this octopus is taking different shapes to conceal itself.
Yes. It does it from the beginning of...
I know these people believe in intelligent design, but isn't that kind of strange that the intelligent designer gave this octopus, in these girls' story, this awesome way to camouflage it, and then invent something that completely messes that over? You know, that's kind of inconsistent.
Maybe it ate an apple.
I mean, it's about as stupid as giving the daddy long legs the strongest poison among spiders. Like, yeah, but it doesn't have any fangs, so it's kind of screwed.
Of its life.
Yes.
Yes. And where did it learn? It started to make it from the beginning of its life, and it doesn't have any time to learn it.
Yes. Otherwise, it is impossible for this fish to live.
Yes.
Because it has a lot of other animals which feed on this fish.
Yes.
But by using the octopus, it conceals itself.
Yes.
And our Lord reminds us once more about his perfect creation by giving us such examples. There is a verse in the Quran which shows this. I seek refuge in Allah from a cursed Satan. Allah is the creator of everything, and he is the guardian of everything. Surat Az-Zumar.
He can't be the guardian of everything.
What does God need with a spaceship?
He can't be the guardian of everything if he's creating predators for some of the things. That makes no sense. Like, I'm going to create this octopus. I am your protector. I love you and I want you to survive. And now I'm going to create this thing specifically that is going to eat you. What?
Another, it's release the Kraken. I love you, release the Kraken.
I'm 62.
Mashallah. Mashallah. It's a very interesting animal we talked about, the jellyfish. So let's keep on continuing with another animal. I'd like to talk about the cat size. We know the cats are very beautiful, very cute animals, yes, like we see all the time in the streets. Let's talk about the details of this animal. The features of the creation on the cat's eyes are one of the evidences of the perfection in Almighty Allah's creation. And our Lord creates cat's eyes with the control of the coordination features compatible with the needs of these beings. As we know that cats has a very good night vision. They can see at night very easily. And cats can easily distinguish colors like green, blue, and red. And however, the actual superiority of their eyes are that they are created for the night vision. Cats' eyelids can open up at night, and so the environment of the low light, the colored layer of the eye, called the iris, as we know, and makes the pupil larger, and covering more than almost 90% of the eye when it gets bigger. We see that when it's a dark environment, cat eyes in the iris part gets darker, yes, and it gets bigger.
Yes. Also, when the cat is excited, yes, full of adrenaline.
Yes, when they want
if it's
to
all,
play.
Hold on. If it's all perfect, perfectly designed and everything, and the cat's eye is like a perfect example of a perfect design and all that, why don't we have them?
Yeah.
I would love to have night vision. Unfortunately, we have to use technology for that kind of shit.
And why don't
also, I don't really hate that contrast between the cute little kitties and those just abominations.
Like, why aren't they using the lions and the tigers? Like, is there a problem with using the big predators that actually need night vision? Because kittens don't need it. Domesticated cats do not need night vision.
Their eyes get bigger, the black-white iris part, and allows it the more light coming. In this case, they have more lights coming in their eyes. In this environment of high light.
That's actually the case with all eyes, as far as I know.
Yep.
Yeah, all eyes have pupils that dilate in accordance to light.
Exactly. Like, cats' eyes have simply... Yeah, I mean, they're just better at it. And they need to be better at it in order to catch prey. So, I mean, if they don't catch prey, they die, so there you go. Natural selection.
Well, but you see, my good Lucius Fox, that is the perfect creation of the cat's eye. They need that eye, and that is what Allah knew, that they needed in the first place, and that is why he gave them to them.
Why would they need them?
I'm not sure. Why wouldn't Allah just kind of, like, make a biological thing that... Why do we need organs? Like, why didn't Allah just make us so that we didn't have to eat or didn't have to do anything? We'll just do it. Why didn't he make it so the cats don't even have to hunt? Like, they can just live off of sunlight and that's it. Like, why? He could have done things that were way better that would protect the rest of his creation.
Why even come up with the first law of thermodynamics?
Yep.
At high level of light, the system works in opposite way to protect the retina. The pupil narrows and turns into a thin line. We also know that when we see the cats under the sun, their pupils comes very narrow. We see
yes,
that.
Yes, it's like a line.
Yes, it's like a very thin line. And there is a layer that does not exist in humans. This layer is just behind in the retina and reflects the light. And since the light that falls on this layer...
Now this is going to be a bit of a cheap shot, but that last picture of the cat just looks like she saw this entire video. That is us in an hour, folks.
The layer is reflected back. Light passes two times through the retina. Instead of when we compare of the people's eyes, it passes one time. But at cat's eyes, it passes two times. So that increases the seeing. They can see better in this way. Therefore, cats can easily see in the low light. And even dark environments in human eye cannot see in. They can easily see and they can easily understand what is going on around them. The reasons that cat's eye shines under the light is the dark layer in this part. Mm-hmm. And this layer is made of tapetum lucidum. This is called tapetum lucidum. And these crystals, you see little crystals, and that reflects light. Thanks to these crystals, that the light that falls on the back of the eye is reflected back to the retina. Yes. And some of the reflected light turns back from the lens, and this causes the eyes to shine at night. So with this structure, the amount of light the eye can see in the dark is increased. It increases the light, it can get more light, and the cats can easily see better in this way. And more precisely, available light is better used in this case. And therefore, cats have better vision in the dark when they compare in the sunlight or the light, more light environment. Mm-hmm, yes. They can see better in the dark part. And another reason that cats can see well in the dark is that there are more rod cells than the cone cells in their retinas. Because we know that rod cells are sensitive to the light, or they sensitive to the light only, and they form a black or white image depending on the light that comes from the objects. But they are sensitive enough to work even with the little light. Allah created their eyes very perfect way.
Mashallah.
And thanks to the special rod cells.
I just have two things to say. The first one, I just love the way that they've just gone in this lecture and, you know, cat eyes and just slip in. Oh, obviously it's Allah. That doesn't logically follow. This could be any deity, or it could even be the more likely evolution. And also, as much as I love cats and cat signs, when's this trail of just epic fail going to reach a station of a point?
Yeah.
I mean, as was pointed out in the chat here by Hydro Platypus, the humans are supposed to be the height of creation. If we're the favored creatures in Allah's creation, then why aren't we, why are there organs or body parts that other animals have that are better than ours? That makes no sense.
Well, I'm guessing they're going to bring up the apple incident in order to explain that, but that would be stupid as well, because that would imply that Adam and Eve had, like, what, 8 arms and the octopus eyes and the...
They had cat eyes and 8 arms, and they were able to contort themselves this way and that.
Yeah.
All right. We'll see if they reach this point. Whatever
their
it is.
Cat's eyes. All cats can see easily when they are at night, and they can easily catch their prey in this case, of course. In addition to cats' perfect vision at night, their visual field is also much wider than humans. They can see in a big ratio when we compare like this. Whereas man's visual field is limited to 160 degrees, cats can easily see up to 187 degrees. Mashallah, it's a big number when we compare it.
Yes, yes.
And with these characteristics that cats have, they can easily detect their threats. They can easily see these foes. They can easily see their prey. It's better. It's better life for them in this case. And these characteristics of the eyes, another examples of Allah's art and manifestation, mashallah. Because Allah created their eyes for their own environment, for their own life. Allah created so. If human beings are not like this. We don't have to see better in the dark. We don't need this. But cats have to do this. Cats have to
survive.
To survive, to live, to catch their prey, to feed themselves. They need this thing.
And alongside with these magnificent features, they are very cute. So
well, there you go. That's a knockdown point for evolution there.
They're freaking cute. I mean, why else would they... They clearly exist to be cute. That's why lions exist. We want them to be cute. Yeah. That's why tigers and cheetahs exist. To be cute, obviously. Not to kill their prey. Not to do anything else. Just to be our viewing pleasure, apparently.
Yeah,
and it's fucking... not like domestic house cats were, you know, selectively bred or anything.
Yeah, exactly. They were bred to be cute.
Yeah.
They actually are intelligently designed by us.
True evolution.
Yeah.
Right. Always says in
irony.
His interviews, they are resembling human beings. That's the reason why they are so cute and we like them so much. because when we look at their eyes, we see something similar to human beings.
Yes, their faces also.
Yes, their faces also
look alike.
Yes, mashallah. Once Mr. Alban Oktar said, the more a cat...
Similar? I'm not too sure a cat's face is similar to humans. Maybe here, but I think that's artificial.
Yeah, she might have a look at, I don't know, an ape.
Apes are a lot closer to humans, especially musculature. Their facial features, being able to actually make facial expressions and all that. It's like, that's what apes can do. Cats can't do that. They can yawn, essentially. That's pretty much the only... They can yawn and hiss. That's pretty much all they can do.
Right, carry on.
The dog looks like a human. The more we like. We like them, we love them, we think they are cute because their faces resemble us, the human beings.
Yes,
mashallah. Mashallah. It's really like this. Mashallah. And another thing about cat's eyes, their structure is different than the man. In cat's eyes, there is a third eyelid called the nictitating membrane. And the membrane is transparent and moves from one side to one another. As such, cat can blink their eyes without completely closing them. Mashallah, it's a very important detail they have. This third eyelid they have prevents the cat's eye from being harmed while hunting. And moreover, it ensures the materials such as dust.
Crocodiles have the same thing.
We used to have that thing. That's why we have that thing in the corner of our eyes. That's all crunkled up and doing nothing. Why don't we have that anymore? I think it would be very useful to have a see-through eyelid that protects my eye from dust.
Yeah, damn bitch with that damn apple.
And such keep away from service of the eye.
Could you have three eyelids?
Yeah. Is that what we call cataracts, basically, is it? No, that's where the name comes from, if I remember right.
As far as I'm aware, I might have missed out with the third one, but I thought there was only two, or is that just me going having a math fail?
Yeah, I think so.
Dolphins, we know that dolphins has a third membrane protectors. Also the penguins they have, mashallah. And that, in that case, when they have a third membrane, their eyes stay moist, and this is because cat does not have to blink constantly. If it has to blink constantly, it can be a danger for him. Its poise can attack him. It cannot survive, maybe. But this also protects their eyelids, so he don't have to distract in this case. He have to be very careful about his prey. And if cats blink their eyes all the time, they like it has to moist his eyes like the human beings. This would cause a great hardship for them while they are, of course, hunting. Not blinking for them is a perfect advantage from Allah, mashallah, alhamdulillah. And there is also another function here. They have sensitivity in their eyes. Cats cannot see close range like human beings. Like they cannot see something very clearly when they get close. So they prefer to go away when they try to see something. But our Lord has granted some as...
That sounds like a bad thing. Earlier they said they had perfect vision.
Yeah.
They were talking about how awesome the vision is and how fantastic it is and how it's perfect for the cats to have this particular eye, and that shows exactly why they have those eyes, because Allah made it that way. And now, here's a problem with their eyes. Well, why would he make a problem? Why wouldn't he make every eye and every creature perfect? Why not? Why this? It doesn't make any sense.
Right, carry on.
The sensory hairs with their eyes, mashallah. This strong sensor mechanism to these beings, cats can easily detect close range with their sensories, and thanks to this, their smell and sensory hairs are also added to this, so they can easily understand what's going on around them. Even though these beautiful beings, they are very beautiful, mashallah, very cute, cannot see close range, they can easily sense very clear range and distances between 2 and 6 meters with their sensory hairs they have.
and distance is enough for them to be highly efficient with the hunters. Another characteristics that human eyes, that characteristics of cat's eyes when we compare in the human eyes, they are creative to the sensitive movements. They are panoramic when we compare, and in accordance with the long distance visual acuity, they have these functions. And cat's eyes and the brains are separate in every movement, and everything moving by frame, they see like frame by frame, like a movie, mashallah. And its brain can also sense more images than ours. When we compare them, they see more images in a second, according to the people.
So their vision quality is better than us in all range.
Yes,
also frames per second, also the night vision in every way.
Yes, mashallah.
And that is one of the reasons why they act so quickly.
Yes,
if they didn't see like this, it will slow down their motion.
Yes. And for example, they have another function. They can easily see the electronic signs. We see that the cats like to walk in around the televisions and like to watch the televisions. They see something, they want to catch it, because they see the electronic signals on the television. Mashallah. But we cannot see that. They have that function, mashallah. And this is special.
Isn't that kind of stupid?
Yeah.
They're pictures on the TV.
Yeah.
But why didn't God make the cats smart enough to figure that out?
Clearly, if he wants, clearly, he just wanted us to enjoy the televisions. The lower animals did not have the privilege of enjoying the wonderful invention of television. That's clearly what the intent was. Just like all the other animals, we just want humans to be able to understand the pictures that are going on the televisions. So that's
that's another killer argument for evolution then. Cats can't watch TV properly.
Is there a point coming up soon?
No, I think they're just listing the cats good at this, and that. Hence Allah.
Pretty much, so far, this video has been cats and other animals are good at this, and that's why Allah made them that way. And then they move on. It's like, what? You're not connecting the dots here. It's a complete non sequitur to say these things are awesome, and therefore that's why Allah made them that way. You need to make an actual theological statement here, and they're just going, now we're just going to insert the theological argument in there somewhere, just kind of put a little bit in there, God made them that way, move on, so that nobody really has anything they can say about it other than, that makes no sense.
Yep, and I remember from the other video that we did on Friday that they're particularly good at just jumping from one argument to another without having a cohesive narrative or putting any form of argument in front. It's just, look at this, and this.
Which has given to them from our Almighty Lord Allah, mashallah, alhamdulillah. This is because the essence of cats catching their prey is based on the principle of easy and distinguishing the moving objects. They see, they have the ability of distinguishing things. That's the reason. They are very good hunters. They can always catch their prey very easily. And there is a detail and varieties we talked about here. This is a flawless creation of our Almighty Lord Allah, alhamdulillah. Cats are created very superior characteristics, that just like the eyes of all other beings. They are created in the most ideal way for them there in environments. And they need to breathe, they need to eat, they need to hunt and defend themselves to stay alive, to survive. And therefore, they must see the world around them and distinguish their prey and their foes.
It almost sounds like these cats adapted to do that. But that's just crazy talk, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that can't possibly be it.
And thus they need a very specialized eyesight to see the environment clearly. However, Allah, our Almighty Lord, who is the Lord of all worlds, granted flawless characteristics for this beautiful animals and special eye characteristics. Inshallah, shapes and visions.
I am just getting so infuriated with how they have to say our mighty Lord Allah, who is also the Lord of yada yada yada, and then say something in Arabic. Can't you just say Allah? Just shorten it to one word? Is that too hard for you? Are you that stupid?
No, they have to say that peace be upon him thing. But I thought that was just...
It's annoying!
Yeah, but I thought it was just for Muhammad they did that. I didn't know they did it for... Yeah.
No, they do it. They do it for Muhammad, they do it for Jesus, they do it for pretty much anything, in anybody in their religion that they consider to be holy in any way.
Yeah. All right.
And sharpness to these beings. Our Lord's creation of special cat's eyes, a source of lesson for the believers, for all the believers. Allah always tells us in the Quran that all the details...
Oh, stop. She just said Allah, just one word. She's going to hell.
The animals and all the things we see, the blessings of our Lord Allah, shows us that we need to...
Yes. She did it again!
We need to increase our faith. Allah created them, so only the believers can understand.
Yes,
this mashallah.
Stop. Okay. Because only the believers can understand. Gee, I wonder how many biologists are Muslim, or claim to be a Muslim creationist, to be more specific.
Yeah, I mean, they can be Muslim and still believe in evolution and shit, but I'm wondering which ones are the Muslim creationists. That's got to be a very, very small minority in the field of biology. Is a Muslim and a creationist. Like, you can get some Christian creationists, maybe like 10%, but even after that, it's like, how many other creationists can there be? Maybe five.
Not even that. I'd go with two. I don't have to get a better source than
because they don't understand themselves.
Yes, yes. MashaAllah.
And also, you have mentioned many different characteristics of the eye, not only one, but also you have said many parts of the eye, many functions of the eye, and they are all required for the cat to survive and continue its life. And also, it is required for the cat to have all these abilities. Without that kind of eye, or it can never happen in time. Mm. It is very important to understand it. There is nothing to do with the evolution with the eye. Also, Darwin complains about the eye characteristics. And this eye structures, all of them, have to be together from the very first moment the eye created. Yes. Because just the way of the thin line, as you said, when it is light, too much light, it gets like a thin line. But when it is dark, it gets bigger. If it is not like that, if it was just sensitive to the light, it couldn't see in the dark. Or just for the dark, it couldn't see in the light, maybe become blind.
Yes.
But the all characteristics of the eye is occurred at the very first moment. Yes, it can never happen by time to time with the winds or the thunders or anything else. It is...
I'm going to have to stop it here, because this refers to... She's on about wind and thunder again. This girl in particular, she always goes on about evolution being wind and thunder causing things to change.
Wind and thunder.
Wind.
What does she think is happening? Like, the wind and thunder happens, all of a sudden, bam, cat! What is the wind and thunder mean? I don't get it.
I don't know. It's one of her favorite expressions. I don't know if it's bad English or if it's stupidity. It's hard to tell sometimes.
This is very important. This is why Darwin says, thinking about the eye, he mentions the human eye, but it is same for the cat's eyes, of course, because there are a lot of organs for the cat's eyes too. So he says that thinking about the human eye is making me sick, because there is nothing that he can explain by the evolution theory, mashallah.
Yes, mashallah.
And maybe the cat eyes are more complex than the...
I may not have gotten that right, but is that just a very poor attempt at the Charles Darwin quote mine, or am I just...
I think so.
I think they're going that way.
I think they're going that way. They haven't gotten to it yet.
Yeah.
I think it's coming up. Yeah, let's see.
The human eyes. So if Darwin know about this eye, I cannot imagine what he can say about it.
Yeah. Yeah, he say makes me sick when he talks about the human eyes.
Well, that's probably because you've never read his works, you dumb cunts. I mean, he even explains He even explains exactly what he thinks about the eye. He goes, yeah, the eye is fucking ridiculously awesome, isn't it? Here's why, how I think it got created. Over a period of time, it was easy. It's just fucking, this is the beginning of evolution. He already addressed this shit. And they're like, I don't know what he would say about it. Well, that's because you never read his shit. Then if you never read it, then don't critique his position on it. You dumb cunts.
This man, he has known about his cat's life.
Also, just a little thinking is enough, actually, to understand. There are hundreds of cells in the eye that they have to act together in seconds. Because when the light directly comes to the eye of the cat or human or anyone else, it can make it blind if it doesn't give a reflect to it, a reflection. There must be something in it. And it cannot see without all the cells together working. They are working in a harmony. Yes. They are working all together.
The rod cells have rhodopsin proteins, and these proteins has to work also together. Yes. And there are many of these proteins, the huge number in each cell. Yes. But they have also they all together work together also.
And there has to be an eye. There has to be a place that can recognize the information coming from the eye in the brain. And they have to be connected to...
Oh, never mind, they're getting to it. Keep going.
...to each other, and they have to be working together.
Yes.
How could it be possible within a time passing? It is impossible.
Yes.
Okay, so what they're essentially doing... What they're essentially doing is the same thing Ray Comfort did when he was on the 700 Club. So what they're doing is they're making the argument like, well, you have to have the eye so in order to have what we have now. So how could that have grown over time? Clearly you have to have just had eyes in the beginning or else you couldn't have existed. I don't know. It's clearly to them, it doesn't make sense if modern things with eyes had ancestors that didn't have those kinds of eyes or had less evolved eyes. Like, this couldn't have happened over time. You have to have a perfect eye straight off the bat or you're done. You're going to die. Like, that makes no sense. I think Ray Comfort's exact wording was, imagine for a moment that I'm a dog. Now, when I evolve, I have to make sure I have to have eyes. I can't be wandering around blind, so I gotta have eyes. How am I gonna have eyes if I'm a dog and I don't have any? Evolution's not gonna give me any eyes, not when I'm already a dog. And then he went on to say, also I'm gonna need another female because without another female dog, I'm a dead dog. Like, it's such a misunderstanding. Not even a misunderstanding. It's just dishonest. It's just a lie.
Okay.
Mashallah, I'd like to read a verse about the subject, like we talked about, inshallah. I seek refuge in Allah from the accursed Satan. And there is certainly a lesson for you in your livestock. Allah said it in Surah Al-Mumin, verse 21. Mashallah. And just like we talked about, we see a very detailed creation here. We obviously see that. We cannot talk about the natural selection or mutations here because there is an amazing creation. Allah created them perfectly. And these functions that we talked about are...
Hold on. If he created it perfectly, then why do we need contact lenses or glasses?
Yeah.
Why? I don't get it. If we're perfect, then why do we die at the age of like 75? Why aren't we going up to being like 900 years old or something like that?
Yeah.
Why aren't we immortal? Why? I can't explain everything with the apple. That's like so many things. Because they're trying to say that right now shit's perfect. So that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah,
it's not perfect now. We can point that out. We need glasses. You guys needed fucking facial reconstruction surgery, apparently. So
they still do.
So they do. whatever you used to be, put that back because it can't be any worse than what you are right now. So it's just supposed to be perfect right now, and we're perfect, and our eyes are perfect right now. Why do we still need these aids to our eye? Why are some people born blind? That makes no sense.
Mm-hmm. Preach, precise functions cannot came into being by the chances or the coincidences or the mutations, which is always causes harms. It can
stop.
Kitch, I think you're ready to go on this one.
Did Kitch break?
Mostly, almost depends how much you're going to go down this road. Most mutations are neutral, as I said on Friday, and I repeat again. Because of the nature of the genetic code, most mutations are neutral. In the genetic code, all amino acids are coded by three bases called codons. The third base, if you mutate that, will generally not change the amino acid. If you mutate the first base, you'll get an amino acid with similar chemical properties, so it's not really going to change the protein. The second one, you will change the amino acid to something else, but here's the thing. If you change the amino acid in an essential part of the protein, like the active site, then you'll get, that will be either a good or a harmful mutation. However, if you change an amino acid in a non-essential part, which is probably most of the protein, you will get no effect. There was someone else. This is how we can tell the essential parts of a protein from the non-essential parts by changing the amino acids in the sequence with a chemically inert amino acid or relatively inert amino acid, which I think it's not methionine, it's something beginning with M or S, but I can't remember. Serine? Maybe someone in the chat will tell us. you never know. Some are harmful, but some are beneficial as well. If you look at humans, white Caucasians in Europe, some of them have produced mutations that make them resistant to HIV infection. You have lactose metabolism. You have, in bacteria, of course, citrate metabolism in E. coli, that's under lab conditions, and also in the environment we have nylonase! Fucking nylonase! The perfect example of a mutation that can't have existed before because nylon is a synthetic material, and these bacteria have used nylon as an energy source, so I can't for life remember it. So, that's my
Another example that I like when you mentioned that some Caucasians are more resistant to HIV, isn't that the same mutation that makes us virtually immune to bubonic plague?
I think so, although I think it probably is.
There's a connection between those anyway, as far as I understand. But that's such an obvious case of evolution in progress. Because I mean, when the plague struck Europe, guess which one survived? I mean, yeah, and oh yeah, that's the sickle cell thing. Thanks, TT.
Okay.
That's another good one.
Yeah. Ready to roll on?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yep. It cannot come into being like this. Alhamdulillah, Allah created this animal just for to show that Allah created much more beautiful, mashallah.
Yes, mashallah. And I want to mention something. Last day I was watching to A9 and there was a trilobite. Our brothers and sisters may saw this fossil. The trilobite is something like this.
Yes.
The size is such little creature, but its eyes are amazing. It is so complex that not even evolutionists, not even anybody can explain how it's formed. So it is obvious that Allah creates it because.
Now, there's an argument from ignorance, if I've ever heard one.
Yeah, because as far as I know, we do have a model for how eyes developed.
Yeah, and also trilobites. Bringing up trilobites is a bit of a problem because, hey, wait a minute. Didn't they fail pretty spectacularly? I mean, aren't they, dead?
Not only that, but in a previous video, they said that transitional forms did not exist. Yet they're bringing a whole transitional form to the studio.
Well,
consistency. Yeah.
I'm going to have to just... This is the level of research, like this Haranyaya group. I don't know if you ever heard of the Caddis Fly incident. I explained this to Kirsch the other day. It was Haranyaya came out with this creationist kind of book called Icons of Evolution. And he's an old Earth creationist. And what he had was he had pictures of like animals from millions of years ago and today and saying, oh, look, they haven't changed. And in one of them, he had a picture of a caddis fly and the earlier version. And he said, look, they haven't changed. But it was actually Richard Dawkins that found this out. He said, if you zoomed in on the modern caddis fly, it wasn't actually a caddis fly in the picture, but it was a fishing lure. And the hook was still in the picture. That is the intense level of research we're dealing with here.
That is hilarious. Oh, my God.
And
also, wow. I just want to mention, I will put on the chat a link to the
charity show they did yesterday.
Charity event for Sense About Science. Mm-hmm. Please do go there and donate. You can still donate. Mm-hmm. And as far as I'm aware, there is an auction starting tomorrow for the charity. So please do check that out. I can't highly recommend that charity or the auction highly enough.
And shall we welcome the Penguin?
Hello, thank you very much. I'm sorry that I missed the start of the show, but good to be here finally.
Oh, there's still plenty for you to get your teeth into here.
So I hear.
Why'd you have to be the Penguin sound? Why couldn't you have been Bane? You know, be someone a little sexier for me.
It's the suit that does it for me. I like suits.
Right. It's the top hat. Really, it's got to be the top hat. Yeah. Like, as soon as you got the top hat on, like, yeah, I got to do that.
I could, if you wanted, I could change my picture to a picture of me dressed as the Penguin.
That would be awesome. It does exist.
Yeah, just to let you know what you've missed out on so far, so you missed out on evolution destroying arguments such as kittens are cute and cats can't watch TV.
What?
And octopi can impersonate other animals.
Yeah, and octopus don't have a conscience either.
They don't have a conscience. Well, I do know about there was an octopus in an aquarium in Germany, I think it was, that at night would climb out of its tank, get into the tank next to it, and eat whatever was inside it.
Yes, and there was also the octopus that predicted the scores of the World Cup once.
Oh, don't start me on that stupid octopus called Paul.
Right, shall we get on with the video?
He liked yellow. Every week he picked the flag that had more yellow on it. You watch.
All right, we're fired up and sound enough now to carry on.
I want to get on to trilobites, but this show could go on quite a long time if you get me into ranting mode.
Okay.
It is many years before human beings can come to being. So we see the Allah's creation, the magnificence in Allah's creation, in this tiny creature,
mashallah. And these were the signs leading to faith about the animals, and we can continue with the human body.
Yes.
We know our body is like a city, and there are a lot of organs, for example, stomach, lungs, brain, etc. And there is a very enormous enormous communication in this body. And we know that Allah creates the hormones as the tool of this communication system. And there is a small vesicle in the brain, and this is as small as a bean, as you know. And it is called the pituitary gland, and this gland sends message to the body and also to the all organs in our systems. And scientists also call this pituitary gland as the maestro of the body, because like the leader of an orchestra, because we know that any, for example, musical note which is in the wrong place in an orchestra, it really destroys the all harmony. But when we can think about, it is similar for our body too, because just the failure of this gland causes the also failure of the body for our health. And this gland, as I said...
Failure of the body. I like this fact. Well, surely in a living body, just about all the organs need to be working normally. So I don't know why she's putting so much emphasis on the pituitary and saying that if that goes wrong, then everything goes wrong.
And well, I'd just also like to point out that although I may not be the best on brain biology, isn't the pituitary gland under control by the hypothalamus?
Yes, I do believe it is. I remember rightly from my level.
Good. My brain for my neurology courses is going quite well then.
Excellent. That's all I have to say.
It's as small as a small bean. And it is actually half gram or etc. And it, for example, controls the growth of the body and then the blood pressure and the water and the heat balance of our body and the secretion of the mother's milk or the production of the production energy from the nutrients. There are a lot of duties that made by this pituitary gland, and we are only just talking about a vesicle. And it has never been out of the dark and liquid environment of the brain. It has no eyes to see, or it has no eyes to, it has no brain to think, or also to decide about something. But somehow, with the alhamdulillah, miracle of Allah, it can control the balance of the whole body. And we can think about
it. I have no idea what they're talking about. The vesicle? I can barely understand these people.
She's actually saying that the brain, something in the brain doesn't have a brain.
Yeah.
Yes.
It does, my dear. It's called the brain.
It does not have a brain. It cannot make decisions. It doesn't have to make decisions. We just talked about cats earlier. Do you understand how they keep balance? Because it's not with the brain. It's with their fucking anatomy. They have the whiskers and the tail. That helps them keep their balance.
Yeah. Can I also just say, these women are grotesque. And you've probably already been over
it. Yeah, we've been over that.
I'm just getting over it.
Still not over it.
That's how I've been promoting this thing to my friends. I'm just like, you want to see us go make fun of some ugly-looking fucking women that have had way too much plastic surgery?
I mean, it's like we said the other night, I don't think even Demaxman would go there.
I've been spending...
I don't know, you give him enough drinks, he might. He'll be like, I don't care that your face looks like wax.
I've been spending most of the show just trying to guess what's going through their head and pretty much thinking... Just one of those monkey dolls smashing the symbols together.
Yeah.
It is possible. And how could a structure as small as a bean can know the needs of the whole body? It is so miraculous, and we can summarize this process. The cells that form this pituitary gland...
Could it be, I don't know, percentage
and after this, they work as a team, these cells, and then check the mood of the body. They're really very miraculous. They know how to read the info in the DNA. And then...
Use your protection now, Kitch.
This is second-year biology. They don't know. It comes intracellular signaling. When a cell gets injured, when a cell needs something, when a cell, depending on the specific requirement of the cell, it will trigger... gene expression for the production of intracellular signals that will go out into the bloodstream and will cause a response from other cells. That's how they communicate through signals. If you want a perfect example of this, go study the immune system. That's all intracellular signaling. There is cell-to-cell contact signaling, but... interleukins, these cytokines and chemokines, they're all intracellular signals. That's how they know, or quote-unquote, know. It's second-year biology. I learned this in my second year.
Yeah, it's like the way something like a bacterium or a fungus would think. It doesn't think. It just reacts to stimuli in almost what could be considered a reflex reaction.
That's the miracle. That's how Allah made it. No matter what explanation you give, that's just how Allah did it. That's just, God did it that way. So, you know, there's nothing you can say because we're always going to revert to magic.
Mm.
Lundy, it's obviously not. It's obviously the flying spaghetti monster.
Clearly, the Dark Lord Cthulhu is causing this from his infinite slumber in the middle of the ocean. He is manipulating the events of everyone and everything, and he created these things exactly how they are. And he uses his psychic abilities to force this intercellular communication.
Okay, let's carry on. And don't look at what Womble just wrote in the chat.
I've already seen it.
Okay.
And how can that be even one problem about this team, about working together? But, mashallah, they really achieve this work. This
You keep saying marshmallow all the time. It makes more sense to me.
It makes me kind of hungry, I gotta be honest. Yeah. I don't know about you guys. I want to have a marshmallow now. Just get some s'mores.
Yeah. You're not the only one.
In a miraculous way. And they produce, after the checking the mood of the body, if they see any problem of any need for the hormones, they start to produce necessary proteins. And then some hormones in seconds, really, and release all these proteins and the hormones into the blood circulation. And these hormones travel in the blood and they reach to their target without doing any mistake.
Without doing any mistake, I mean, okay, we'll ignore the grammar, but did you think that all the hormones that are released into the blood know to go to whatever target organ it is? Because they don't. They just get dispersed in the blood basically throughout the whole body. It's simply the case that only certain cells in the body will be able to respond to them because only they have the correct receptors on their cells. So I think she's possibly of the opinion that they basically have their own little sat nav in the body saying at the end of the aorta, turn left. And where is she getting this from?
Her ass.
Yeah, I was going to say the junction between her left and right leg.
They are checking the mood of the body.
Yes.
This means that they work as a laboratory. Hormone is just a molecule, complex molecule, and it works as a laboratory. When we go to hospitals for blood tests, they cannot give the results immediately. But this hormone does this test in seconds.
Yes.
Less than a second.
Yes. They have to check, they have to decide.
Wait.
The reason why you cannot get the results from a blood test instantly is because somebody has to take the blood away and do an experiment with it. That's what really takes the time. The actual mechanics of the test are basically the same sorts of things, well, depending on what the test is, I admit. But often the mechanics of the test are the same sorts of processes that happen on the surfaces of target cells. So the actual process is very quick. It's just the fact that human beings have to obviously label all the stuff correctly so some don't get mixed up, have to take them away, have to write the results, have to email them to people. That's why it takes time.
Yeah, you also, I know from my own knowledge of an immunoassay, you have to draw the blood, you have to inject the sample into the port, you have to wait for the... you have to allow the liquid to run up the device through capillary action. Then you have to allow the reaction to occur to completion. That usually takes, I'm not too sure off the top of my head, maybe half an hour. Maybe, I think it's on the lower side of a half an hour, upper side maybe 2 hours, just to ensure that that has happened, the antibody binding to the... to the signal, and then there's obviously an enzyme that you come in, you bind that as well to the other side of the hormone. Then, I don't want to go through the whole thing of an ELISA assay, but basically it's all about there's several incubation periods, and then you have to get the result and analyze the results via, I think it's usually a UV spec, and then you have to interpret the results, and you have to do that for that, and the control, and for... although in hospital they will have the a calibration curve already done. So that's why it takes. And also, it's not the, you're not the only person in the hospital, might I add, that might be having this test done. You know, a hospital deals with loads more people and has to be done correctly according to the standard operating procedures. That's my rant on immunoassays. Over.
Decide what is less or more they have to produce and then go to the target. It's really a miraculous process for them. And we, I mentioned the growth of the body, and let's talk about the growth hormone and etc. This, for example, if this gland produces too much of growth hormone, some body parts like our arms or like legs, they abnormally big. They become abnormally big, and or on the contrary.
I don't think she wants to talk about things that are abnormally big.
I was going to say, she had too many growth hormones in her face.
We have to get this out of our system, I think. But then again, I think we'll probably get blocked from a ban from Blog TV. We did.
Your
hormones are controlled by a negative feedback system.
Yeah. Then at this point, the for example, the wounds in our bodies don't heal, and this may cause, of course, very serious events, very serious diseases. And as we have talked about the growth, I can mention another miracle about this. All organs in our body, they are waiting for the growth signal that will come from the pituitary gland, but each organ, again somehow, knows how much they should grow. For example, liver has a shape. Or there are long bones or the short bones in our body.
DNA.
That is very different, that has very different structure from bones, but it is very flexible, for example. And they all have different structures. They all have different shapes, thicknesses, but they grow only as it is, as much as it is needed in our body when they have the growth.
Firstly, a little quick word for Kitch, because you ought to know. What is the name of the growth hormone that encourages limb formation and bone formation in vertebrates?
Ooh.
Famous. Famous Nintendo character?
Sega. Sonic Hedgehog, that's it.
Sonic Hedgehog. Funny enough,
that is actually something that's actually been looked at in our research group, and I have no idea why it didn't come straight to my head.
Might have confused it, I said Nintendo. But yes, there is a hormone called Sonic Hedgehog. Scientists have the best sense of humor sometimes. And it is basically in control of limb formation, and it's one of the reasons why, if it's overexpressed or if it's expressed too long, that's why you can get polydactyly and you get people coming out with too many fingers. So I like her claim that it's all that things grow the amount that they need to and no more. Because sometimes it doesn't happen. And it's all basically a continuum. Fortunately, the majority of us fall within the continuum whereby we come up with a relatively normal body plan. That's me then.
Growth signal.
May I mention another example? If our chest has grow smaller, not enough, then our organs, for example, our heart or our lungs, will grow bigger.
Did anybody else notice the nice little bad camera working right there, where they pretty much just kind of like went down and tried to zoom in a little bit on one of their tits? Yeah. Did anybody else notice that?
Yeah, when she mentioned the chest.
I'm just impressed that she talked about their chest growing smaller. I'm not sure how you can grow smaller, but yeah, we all sat there and didn't say anything. So clearly, we're not as mature as you think we are.
The words grow smaller do not make sense when used in succession like that. No.
I know their English isn't that great, so I'm just going to give them a pass on that one.
Yeah.
Not on the actual content of their what they actually mean, but on the face of their English, I'll just give it a pass, because I think there's a lot more offensive things in this video, intellectually offensive things in this video.
Yeah, I mean,
It's also the fact that generally, if you're going to have a small chest, you'll probably have a small everything else, and that includes a small heart, small lungs, all the rest of it. But and there's also that condition, what's it called, pectus excavatus, where you, I don't know a polite way to describe it, but you have a large dent in your chest. But yeah, again, shit like that happens, and not always serious, but it does put quite a lot of pressure on your internal organs unless you have surgery to fix it.
It will not be possible for us to live. It will be very dangerous for us. It is very important.
It's dangerous for everyone to live. In fact, there's a 100% chance of dying.
We'll just see about that.
The organs are growing as much as they could, as they must.
Yes.
Because if one of the organ is growing less or more, it will be of vital importance for our
yes, it will
body.
Tear up the skin and goes
yes,
up.
Yes, yes. And just because of this, we know that when we cut our hand, it only starts to heal itself, regenerates yes. the mm-hmm. skin, but never becomes another finger on it. Yes. Why not? Because it made the whole, of course, the cells, after cells, but we know that it only grows as it is needed, heals as it is needed. Yes. And for example, similarly, we know that...
Pain expression.
Healing as needed. How can you heal as not needed? You can only heal if you're wounded. Okay.
Yeah, and
I'm pretty sure...
Even I know that DNA actually has something to do with that. You know, why?
We have this thing in skin cells. We have this thing in all cells, in mammalian cells, called contact inhibition. That means, I know grown in culture, it'll grow a monolayer and won't grow anymore using primary tissue because it will stop growing because of contact inhibition. I'm pretty sure that's the same way that happens in bodies. Maybe someone else who's more into a mammalian cell biology than I am could correct me on that. But that's what happens in tumors, actually, funny enough, is the first thing that goes is contact inhibition. That's why they lose the ability to grow, to stop themselves from growing. And you can see that when you look at a cell culture of a tumor cell line. It's actually quite interesting to do so. And that's enough cellular biology from me.
I was saying, what is she doing talking about skin? I don't think she has any.
Also liver. Our liver can regenerate itself. And if we take out only one piece of the liver, then it can complete itself until it gets to the original shape. But original
can
shape
I just,
for...
I just want to point stuff. They're mentioning about how all the organs can regenerate and stuff like that. Why not the neurons? Why not the most important system, probably one of the most important systems, not the most important system, the nervous system, that hasn't got great ability to regenerate itself?
And what about amputees?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we got amputees, they can't regenerate their limbs. Why do we have diseases that specifically decay the nervous system in humans? Like, if our bodies are so miraculous and amazing, then why do we have diseases that specifically cripple us and turn us into these fucking vegetables?
Well, actually, I think Dark Matter did a video explaining that.
It's
pretty damn high.
Yeah, like I made this disease that turns people into vegetables, and they can't talk, they can't communicate with people, they can barely hear anything. They're pretty much in a perpetual state where they can't move. I guess I got really drunk with Allah the other day, and I just don't know what I did. are you going to get rid of it? No, because, if I do something, it's right, so what can I do?
For whom? How do you know?
Yes,
so, you are. Yes,
the cells have never left liver and get out of the liver and look at the shape of the liver from outside.
Yes.
They are inside the liver
yes.
already.
Why are our liver? I have a question. But why is it that when you drink, your liver's fucked?
Yeah.
Like if our livers are so perfect and they regenerate and shit, why is it that people who drink alcohol have shit livers.
And did you catch,
why can't those livers fucking recover?
I was just going to say, did you guys catch the point there? She said that these cells, they don't go outside the liver, look at it, and then regenerate into a liver shape. And they do from the inside, and I don't know what point she's actually getting at with this. But I'm guessing she's just going to say Allah at the end of it.
She's making it seem like our the cells that regenerate the liver are kind of acting like Picasso, where they're just going out, taking a look at it, going, all right, what do I need to look like here? Just kind of like holding up their thumbs, going, yeah, that's going to look good.
Yes, it is a piece of the, it is already the piece of the liver. Cannot, as you said, travel around, travel through the liver to see which part of the liver is missing.
Yes.
But and somehow it
let's
knows.
Let's say it get out the liver and have opportunity to see the liver. With it doesn't have eyes, how can it see? It doesn't have brain, nervous system.
It
or,
doesn't
any
see.
Any wisdom
can I just
cells don't have eyes.
Can I just point out the fact that all of these people have, quote-unquote people, have, I don't know, they're people or mannequins.
Orton.
Someone said it's the
I'm going with wax displays right now.
I'm going with the description earlier, the Stepford Muslims.
But they all have laptops. They're asking questions. How do they know? How do they know this? How do the cells know to do that? Here's a question. Here's an idea. Why not go on to, I don't know, Google and type in the question and see what happens.
Fuck, go to a paper database. PubMed's free. You can go and look at it. Now, granted, to actually look into detail of the papers, you're going to have to pay for them, but you can find free PDF files of a lot of papers out there on the internet if you really look.
Yeah. And just to quote,
I wouldn't actually recommend that for people of their lack of intelligence level.
True, they're not going to be able to understand the jargon and all that.
Exactly. So, but, I mean, I hate to say it, but Wikipedia is a great start.
Yeah, it's a good starting point, but if you do use Wikipedia, you do have to look further. That's the only thing.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, you go to Wikipedia, and you got to look at the sources they use. Because,
yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I went through this with Fringe Elements a little while back. He said that Hitler apparently outlawed IQ tests and called them Jewish. Now, he ripped this straight from Wikipedia, and I looked at the source that Wikipedia used for it, and Wikipedia used a source that was a book written by two people who are not historians, but who were – one was a geneticist and one was a psychologist. And both of them were these racial hereditarian people. So it's like, okay, so Wikipedia is where you got that from. And Wikipedia sourced a book written by two people who don't understand history, who are not educated in history, who have a bias towards promoting IQ tests. So that's what you use, and that's why it's a problem. I'm okay with using Wikipedia if the source being used for that claim is also legitimate. Sometimes it's not.
You need to actually check the source, yes. Definitely.
Just to quote what Rambo said in the chat room just now, if they're from Turkey, we could call this Eastern bullshit. There we go.
The shape of the liver.
Yes.
It doesn't have any intelligence in that way. It has the wisdom of Allah.
Liver itself didn't know what its shape is.
Yes, of course. Liver itself doesn't know it is liver.
Yes.
They have to go up and calculate the centimeters and millimeters, and they have to write down, and when a new piece comes on, or
yes,
when the piece goes out, they have to do the precise thing that they have to make according to the centimeters calculations. But even talking about this, it's
yes. And when we are giving these examples, it's of course reminds the existence of Allah to us, because every cell in everyone's body is in held by Allah and all in the control of Allah, and every nucleotide in its correct position in the everyone's cells and cells in every cell's DNA, and this makes cells produce necessary protein.
I just want to ask, if every nucleotide is in the correct position in the human, why is there such variation in humans? There is variation there. Obviously not every nucleotide could be in the correct position now.
I was going to say, what about the ones that aren't?
And it's not even in any way contentious that not all the nucleotides are correct. There is, at any one time in your DNA, there will be, is it about 10 bases per cell that will be incorrectly paired? And it's not necessarily going to be a problem, but it's still wrong. And it's part of what helps create mutations.
I'm not too sure the exact number, but there will be obviously mutations as we age.
Yes. So,
in fact, I think when we reach adulthood, we're more of a mosaic rather than one continuous homogeneous population.
Unless she's just counting the ones that are in the right place and ignoring all the others. But, okay.
Is at the desired moments, no more or less. And as we, that each system, as we see, are dependent to the other and cannot exist without each other. And this also shows us that, alhamdulillah, Allah controls every point in our body, every hormones, every organs, or every organelle to make us...
Didn't she just contradict herself? She talks about how the body is controlled by whatever the hell she was saying, and then she says that Allah controls it.
Well, yeah, I mean, if Allah is controlling our cellular chemistry, then why do we need DNA at all?
Yeah.
Why can't we just piece together all our cells and atoms?
A lot of people ask, what's the harm in creationism? What's the harm in this kind of thinking? Well, you've just seen it right here. We've got a genuine scientific, even though it's well studied. Let's say it's not. Let's take the sake of argument, it's not. And we don't know how hormones and all these things work and how they are directed and how could they differentiate between cells. Yeah, the scientific hypothesis, which is, let's do some studying, and then you have their hypothesis, which is God did it. That's the harm. It's just, it will just make science so lazy.
Why would you bother coming up with medical treatments when you could pray for wellness?
Yeah.
That's your cue to start the video. Or not.
I seek refuge in Allah from a cursed state. In your creation and all the creatures, He has spread about that there are signs for people with certainty. In Al-Jatiyya, verse 4, it is really important there are signs for people with certainty. So these signs are for us, for talk about, for think about, for talk about the existence and the miraculous creation of ourselves and all the universe, alhamdulillah. So it is really very important to learn and to talk about the miraculous creation of Allah, alhamdulillah.
As we have talked about the pituitary gland, let's talk about some another organ in the human body. It is the pancreas. And many people knows about the insulin hormone and the pancreas because it is very familiar, because the lack of insulin causes a disease that many people know, diabetes. And the insulin hormone is the hormone that controls the blood sugar. Now, as we have talked about the pituitary gland and its delicate balance, its delicate abilities that it can make, also the pancreas can do such thing. For example, when we eat food, it starts with like that. When we eat food, our stomach and our intestine starts to digest the food. And it gets the foods like sugar, protein, fats, and some other ingredients, and takes them to the blood, to bloodstream. When it enters the bloodstream, there's a very special system in our body, in the circulation system, that to understand the level of the sugar. Sugar level is very important, and our cells need sugar to produce energy. It is obvious, especially the brain cells, they really need only the sugar. And as the sugar level should not decrease from its normal level, so there is a system in the pancreas, some of the sensory systems, that can understand that the level in the sugar is decreasing or increasing.
if, as we said, eat something, the sugar level increases.
Stop.
And this...
Have you heard about diabetes?
That's Wilfred Brimley. Oh, sorry, that's diabetes. well, yeah, she mentioned diabetes. I love that woman with the blonde hair and that very, very straight fringe, because every so often she forgets to move and gives herself away as a machine. she also has that collar around her neck, which I suspect is hiding screw thread. She's my favorite.
Okay.
Sure, let's get back to this.
Gives an information to the pancreas. Mm-hmm. It is very amazing, mashallah. And the high levels of sugar can damage the cells also. Sugar can accumulate some places, like brain, like some other organs, some vessels. It can damage vessels. So it shouldn't get high, the amount. So actually it starts with, as we said, eating food, but also even if you drink a tea with sugar, mm-hmm. even if you just eat just one sugar, it is enough for your pancreas to understand that the sugar level is increasing. It is very.
What do you mean by eat just one sugar?
I think it means just one lump of sugar in the tea.
Yeah.
I have any understanding about how the the eyelets of Langerhans actually operate, and how they actually detect how the sugar levels rise in the blood?
No, I don't think she does. She was talking about sending information, although in what form she didn't say.
I'm pretty sure the cells, the insulin-secreting cells of the eyelets of Langerhans, I've got to say insulin-secreting cells, because I just hate saying that name.
Beta cells.
Beta cells, yes, thank you. They have receptors that can sense the level of glucose rising, and then that will trigger an intercellular pathway, which turns on the gene for insulin expression, or gene for insulin expression.
Or another way of phrasing it, chemistry, you fucking retard. Ever hear of fucking chemistry?
Chemistry!
Oh, that should have been. I should have used the sound effects there, but no. Anyway. Right, let's carry on.
Very amazing, mashallah, because it can somehow count the sugar. How could it be possible that?
Yes,
we are talking about the flesh.
Yes. And this is an organ that don't have eyes, don't have brain,
yes,
don't have hands, don't have any organ with which we can understand what is the level of the sugar in the blood.
Yes.
Or it don't
they
have laboratory, even a laboratory before, because when we are sick, we go to the laboratory, gave our blood, and they took sample and say, oh,
yes,
the level of sugar is such and such. But our body, this organ, don't have any laboratory, but it makes this in a second,
yes,
or even more in more quick way, mm-hmm, and understands what is the level and decides to increase or decrease
insulin levels.
Yes.
And as we said, it is counting.
Oh, like, hold on. Like, they characterize these actions as if there is a thought process going on behind them, which doesn't make any sense. They've already gone over the fact there's no brain, there's no eyes, there's no organs explaining this stuff, and they just seem to know. They're not thinking about it. It's just chemistry. Like,
I know.
Nobody pick up on that?
It's a far more remarkable and improbable scenario, in my opinion, at least, that these cells would be able to consciously think about. If it is basically an unconscious pre-programmed response, then that makes it a much more rudimentary system. So I would be far more impressed if they were thinking about it. How you would know that, I don't know. But I think it's a sort of a human-centric thing, though, that we think that because we think about everything that we do, more or less, that the only way that anything can get done is if somebody or something thinks about it.
Pretty much. That seems to be the way that they're phrasing it. The only way that the cells can do what they do is if they're thinking about it. But they don't have a brain, so someone's doing the thinking, and it's Allah. fucking, like, talk about affirming the consequence. Holy shit.
The blood. And we said there are approximately there are 5 liters of blood in the human body. Mm-hmm. And how could tiny cells can understand and calculate the amount of sugar in 5 liters of blood?
It's impossible. They can't calculate anything, you scum.
What do they think is going on? Like, there's little cells with calculators in there just kind of tacking away at blood sugar levels and shit, just trying to understand what it is that they need to do. There's, like, papers and memos going out to all the different cells. This is what your job is for the next, like, 2 seconds. Like, what do they think is going on here?
I really just want to point out here that there's no real calculation. It's just really basic chemistry. That when the glucose is acting as what we call a ligand, and a receptor is, well, just a receptor on the cell surface. When the concentration reaches to a certain point, the chemistry of the system will allow the ligand to bind to the receptor. It's just basic chemistry. I don't know the exact specifics, but once the concentration reaches high enough, the ligand will bind to the receptor. There we go.
Yeah. Basically, every time glucose binds to a receptor, that will send signals within the cell to express the insulin gene. And so the more of those signals you get, the more you will express insulin. Insulin should, in theory, in a healthy body be being expressed all the time, but it's the level of expression that goes up and down. The other thing is that, of course, the cell can't calculate the concentration of glucose in 5 liters of blood because the concentration of glucose in 5 liters of blood is the same as the glucose concentration in 1 milliliter of blood because it's concentration, which isn't dependent on volume. So the glucose is going to be equally or more or less equally distributed in the blood, it only needs to sample a little bit of blood right next to the pancreas in order to gauge how much there is in the whole body. So it doesn't matter whether you've got 5 liters of blood or 10 milliliters, your amount is exactly the same.
Impossible. It is a miraculous thing.
And these cells have to work together. These cells are clusters like called islets of Langerhans. Yes. They work together.
You can
say it. Directly coming inside of these clusters, yes. And the blood is directly going out of these clusters. And I think in human body there are about 1,000 islets of Langerhans in just one pancreas, and they have to work together at the same time. About 1,000 of them.
I'm sure it's more than 1,000 in a whole pancreas.
Yeah,
so
clusters.
But the blood doesn't go into the islets of Langerhans, does it? It's difficult to say, but it doesn't go into the cells in any way. The cells absorb. Glucose from their surroundings.
As far as I know, the blood goes into capillaries. Capillaries are just very, 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 very small blood vessels.
Mm. Of them, and they are on a network.
Yes, yeah. And as the special cells, they are beta cells, understand that there is the insulin requirement, mm-hmm. They produce the insulin, and insulin is a special key for our body. In our body, the cells have special doors for sugar. They are special gates.
And they have doors.
But these gates
we have constructed doors in our cell biology for things to go enter into. They have mahogany doors, clearly.
I've been known to enter by the back door on a number of occasions.
Oh, dear.
Oh,
but at least they're actually conscious of the fact that on the cell surface there are proteins that do jobs, specific jobs, such as allowing the glucose in or out of the cell, or even more importantly, receptors that transfer messages from the outside to the inside of the cell. That, oops, I just used messages. I know some dishonest creationist twat is going to take this and just quote me on that.
Yeah, there is something, well,
I think we should be getting this from something called the lock and key hypothesis, which is the idea that each enzyme or each receptor has a site on it whereby the ligand can fit in, and the ligand is the exact correct shape to fit in. The other main one is something called induced fit, whereby the shape of that active site is not quite right, but it will stretch slightly to accommodate whatever it's fitting. But that's what I think she was talking about, being a special key for special people.
Yeah, I think the induced fit model is more, has more explanatory power, but I think we'll leave that debate to another day.
Yeah.
That's a little bit too intellectual.
Insulin is required to open these gates. And when the pancreas understands that the blood sugar is high and it has to be removed from the bloodstream, it produces this key. And this key travels through the body with the circulation and goes to the special cells and open the doors, open the lock. It's a key, it opens the door.
And locks are the proteins.
Yes, they also they are the proteins. The doors, the gates are also created with the proteins. And it is also very amazing that these doors, all these gates are only for sugars to pass. Actually, when you think about the blood, there are hundreds of thousands of molecules in the blood. Mm-hmm. But these gates, when the insulin comes and opens the doors, only sugar can pass through these gates.
Because only glucose has the right shape that will fit into the active site of the transport protein. It's simple cellular biology. Just go to a simple cellular biology textbook.
Yeah, it's not like a hole opens, a glucose-shaped hole opens, because glucose is quite a lot bigger than other things which could easily fit through as well. But there are proteins on the cell surface which will bind with the glucose, and they have to then use a certain amount of energy to import that sugar molecule inside. In this case, it's going to be a liver cell, because that's where glucose is stored.
There's also pumps, other pumps that pump in sodium ions, potassium ions, and nerve cells, etc. There's loads of these different transport proteins in the cell membrane. They just act by simple chemistry. There's no magic involved.
Yes. Who makes them to understand that, yes, this is sugar, it can pass, and no, this is protein, it cannot pass? Who decides it?
Yes.
It is very miraculous. It is clear that it is created.
And there's no time to decide about something. It has to be as soon as it is needed.
Stupid person.
Yes, from the very first moment the cells are created, because the sugar is the most important ingredient for energy. Yes. So it is the very first moment the cells are created, they should have that gates. Yes. Special.
What about water? Maybe I'm being a bit too difficult.
There is, well, if we're just talking about energy molecules, then acetate is also quite a good candidate. In fact, that is why people who drink heavily tend to get fat deposits built up on their liver. It's because alcohol is a two-carbon molecule, and when your body metabolizes it, and it's primarily done in the liver, it's converted into a molecule called acetate, and that very neatly fits into one of the main cycles that helps your body to produce energy from organic molecules. And because it does it so well, it means that your liver then has no reason to start burning sugars, and so it, for want of something else to do with that sugar, it will often convert it into fat, and then obviously that fat has to accumulate somewhere. So really, sugar isn't necessarily the best energy molecule, as you said. It is the only thing for your brain, though. Well, I suppose alcohol is reasonably good for your brain, but obviously only in the short term. But yeah, your brain can't really survive on anything other than glucose for a very long time.
Special for the sugar.
And if problem occurs between these gates and the keys that are trying to unlock these gates, diabetes too occurs.
Yes.
It may cause death sometimes.
Yes. And also, what's more, this is very amazing that pancreas has a very special book in its library. I'm calling it, I want to say, the DNA. That
these are cells with doors and books on their shelves.
the entire biology of the human. They have anthropomorphized everything into being an actual, like, town filled with workers doing things. Like, how disconnected from reality does one need to be to think that the human body individually does things outside of what the brain understands them to be doing consciously? It makes no sense at all.
This, I suppose, is the hazard of believing that your species is superior, or in a sense that you you think that you are the pinnacle of creation, is that you, it then makes it very easy to anthropomorphize anything around you. And it's perhaps one of the biggest stumbling blocks to new scientists, is that they have to try and understand things in their own terms often, and trying to make them into something that seems more real and more human just isn't helpful.
That has the formula of this key.
Yes.
How could it be possible? No other cells have such a key. No other cells have. Actually, they have, but they cannot produce the formula. They cannot understand and solve the formula. But the cells inside.
Hold on. I may be completely misunderstanding what you're saying there, because I don't speak idiot. But is she actually saying that the cells don't understand the formula, or is she saying that the cells don't understand that? What does she actually mean? They don't understand the formula. The reason why they don't produce the receptors is because of gene expression. They're differentiated. They can't. They don't transcribe those genes.
Yeah.
They can't transcribe those genes. They have the potential to be activated. If you undo the differentiation, but it's not like they don't understand the DNA code for that protein. They just don't activate it. They just don't act on it. Maybe I'm just, I don't know.
Yes, because of course every cell in your body has to have the same genome, bar a few bits missing here and there. Of course, their blood cells don't have any DNA. But basically, it all starts from the stem cell, and the stem cell can turn into any other cell type that it wants, and which cell type it turns into depends on what influence it receives from the cells around it. And once it is committed to being a liver cell, that's pretty much it. It cannot ever be anything else. But neighboring cells will tell it to become a liver cell, that'll switch on a certain pattern of genes, and from that point on, it'll only express a certain series of genes. I should also say that actually, the liver isn't the only thing that that stores glucose, because I think muscle cells also do it a little bit.
Yeah.
The pancreas, they have this special formula, and they can produce the insulin. Yes. And we have discussed many times about the proteins. The key and lock system is very special. I mean, you cannot use another insulin, another structure instead of insulin. You have to produce insulin to use it. And how could
that be? That's why big insulin has been used before it was recombinant.
Yeah, you can swap it around between different species. It doesn't work as well, but it works.
How could pancreas know the whole requirement level of the body? I mean, pancreas is just a part of the body.
Yes.
But it knows the body's, the whole system's need, the level that the whole system needs. And why should sacrifice itself to maintain this balance? Because we are talking about...
What?
Sacrifice itself?
Yes.
Hold on, it's producing something. How is it sacrificing itself?
It's like the milkman having to come to your house every day to deliver a bottle of milk, and then going and jumping off a bridge, and you have to get a new milkman each day.
I thought they were going to the obvious detonated suicide vest or something like that.
All right.
About the flesh, we are talking about, if it was for the evolutionists, they should think that the cells should be selfish and they shouldn't produce so much insulin.
What?
Yeah. I think she's going to go down the Dawkins route here, I think.
The body should be selfish.
How are they going to be selfish if they don't have brains to understand how to be selfish?
And even let's go with that. If they only produce what was in their immediate interest, they're all going to die anyway. It's just, no, that's just so stupid.
I think they imagine that in the evolutionary world, all our cells should be at war with one another. And there is a very good reason why we became multicellular organisms at some point in the deep past, which was that we got bigger than our competitors, and so we were able to eat our competitors.
By the way, just on a fun note, there is a condition where cells actually do become selfish. It's called cancer. Have you ever heard of fucking cancer, you fucking retard?
Isn't lupus like that as well? I can't remember. I think isn't lupus something where your body's own immune system turns against you? I can never remember. It's something like that.
There are plenty of those conditions.
Yeah. Lupus in the human immune system becomes hyperactive and it affects normal healthy cells.
They shouldn't sacrifice themselves days and nights to control this blood sugar. But it is not like that.
Yes.
From the very first moment the pancreas is created, it makes and balances the sugar in the blood.
Allah reminded the verse, sacrifice Allah from the curse Satan. Glory be to you, we have no knowledge except Allah you have told us.
Yes.
And this miraculous thing is shown that...
Is she going to do the pre-sup bullshit?
I don't think this is the first time any of us have actually made it this far into this video.
Can I also just point out, she just says, we have no knowledge other than that of Allah. I didn't need you to tell me that. You made it up to be clear.
That only Allah knows the keys and the gates, and Allah creates every key and its lock, so that we can...
I just have to say, that's very free. She started talking about Allah, and then the Prophet Muhammad entered the room. That's just very freaky timing, that Prophet. And welcome to the show, Prophet.
We can understand these miraculous things, details about the human body.
Yes, a key, a protein, a cell can never know anything. Allah knows everything.
Yes.
Inshallah. And for the hard times, for example, glucose also stored in some of the organs, like liver, as we have discussed, and muscles. But muscles store glucose for exercise. If you do some sports or something else, the muscles use the glucose that they stored. But liver
is the
real place for controlling balancing sugar level in the bloodstream. And there's another special hormone in pancreas. It is glucagon. This is
I might get this wrong. No, I think she's right, actually, isn't she? I thought glucagon was made somewhere else. But no, okay, I'll shut up.
So again, a protein, a hormone that can understand the level of the sugar when it decreases in the blood and goes to liver. At first goes to liver because, again, it knows that liver is the first...
Can I just stop it right here? Just as a preemptive, the one that we rebuttal to any of the points they're going to bring up for glucagon or glucose, just replay the video segment for insulin. Because I think it's going to be the exact same kind of thing. That's for people who have the ability to rewind.
It's open to release sugar into the bloodstream. Now, this is something really amazing because we are talking about an organ that can have the formula of two different proteins working opposite.
Yes.
One of them increases the blood sugar, one of them decreases the blood sugar. And this is really something that should be think deeply. Pancreas has never tested the human body.
Clearly, in order for organs to work, they need to be able to contemplate their actions and think deeply about what they're going to do. Because chemistry doesn't exist in Islam.
Yeah. There are...
It is an interesting, I don't know where they would draw the line between a simple chemical reaction between, say, two inorganic molecules, two organic molecules, a protein and organic molecule, all of these in a test tube. At what point does it suddenly become a point at which the cell knows what it's doing? Because up till that point, every chemical reaction is a completely thoughtless process.
There's this thing called gene expression. You know, if the cells in one environment, a certain set of genes will be turned on. In the case of high blood sugar, glucose will bind to a receptor and that will turn on insulin. In low blood sugar, the cell will sense that there's low blood sugar and will turn on glucagon. Or I think it's pronounced glucogen. I really don't trust
it.
Glucagon. I'll trust sound.
I've got Wikipedia. Anyway.
Understand if it uses the glucose, what will happen if it uses the insulin, if it uses the glucagon? It never tested the human body.
It knows.
Yes, it knows. Because if it tested something like that, it calls death. We cannot survive.
And that will be selected against by natural selection.
Yes.
How can it be understand that this is normal? Maybe it is less for a human body, but no, it decides that it is normal. This blood sugar is normal for a human body.
Yes, and glucagon did not beat the pavement and walk around to see, to go door to door to understand which place is the center for the sugar, which place is the center for the pancreas. It really knows it. From the very first moment it is created, and we are talking about.
Stop! As if human body city weren't getting more and more ridiculous by the minute, and we've suddenly got door-to-door salesmen going, "Do you need glucose? No, okay, thank you, ma'am." But yes, it does work like that.
A cup of glucose for your neighbour.
I just moved in next door.
I told you, it's a simple case that these hormones travel in the blood, and every organ of the body that has blood in it, and that is basically all of them, will be exposed to it. It's simply the case that some of them will have the receptors on their surface, which is something that is all encoded in that cell's pattern of gene expression. So every cell is exposed to it. It's only that the ones that ought to respond to it can respond to it. There's an interesting parallel as well, which is transcription factors, which are proteins which bind to DNA to promote or inhibit the expression of a gene. And a lot of people ask how they know how to find which stretch of DNA they need to bind to. The answer is that they don't. They simply bind to, well, first of all, it has produced lots and lots of copies, and most of them never actually get used. But they just bind the DNA at a random point and slide up and down it until they find the sequence which they most strongly bond to. So it really is the case that our body has to work on a certain amount of guesswork, or rather it works by randomness but with traps in place to try and direct that randomness.
Yeah, it's simple biochemistry. There's nothing advanced about it. Or magical, I should mean.
And just to let you all know, there's 12 minutes left of this video now.
Question mark.
And protein is molecule.
Yes, it is just a molecule. It doesn't have a brain. It doesn't have eyes.
We get the point.
It is obvious. We see creation here.
But it does have functional groups.
Must requirements of this system. That has to be together. The cells are speaking with each other. The systems are working in a harmony. They all know each other. They're working together to increase the blood, decrease the blood, to make the balance. And it is always
created
for a person who has a clean mind, who can see, who can think, who can understand, can easily see it. Inshallah.
The communication.
This may be a shot at myself, but I don't have a clean mind, and I can do all those things.
I don't think any of us on this, no one on this team has a clean mind, I think.
What's a clean mind?
I don't think we're having very many dirty thoughts about these particular women.
Because I think
depends on how you define dirty. Is it dirty to take violent images?
Is it dirty to want to mush their faces into mud? Is that dirty? I think in a technical sense that is dirty. So.
Right. So.
By itself is a great miracle because there are different organs. We say they have different works to do in our body, but they speak the same language. Yeah. How it's possible?
Even though we are all human, we don't have
the same native language.
There are very different native languages. For example, some are talking in Turkey, some are talking in English. Yes, they are all the human, but they don't have the same language. But somehow this proteins, these hormones in the body have the same native language and can understand each other by the word of Allah.
And also it's a very wide area.
Yes.
Of course our cells have the same chemistry, which is perfectly contingent with evolution. If this person is trying to suggest that maybe the different races were created differently, then okay, we might not necessarily expect different races to have different biochemistry. Of course some races do have slightly different biochemistry actually, lactose intolerance being one example. But it's simply the fact that we're all human and we all are related. That's why we have the same biochemistry. It's interesting that we have similar biochemistry to other forms of life, and indeed the more closely related we would appear to be physiologically, the more closely related we are biochemically. Which is pretty good evidence for evolution in my book.
Rambo actually makes a good point. If the cells are speaking and it's Allah, would they all be speaking Arabic then?
Clearly the cells are all well versed in the Quran.
For cells to communicate each other, it is very distant from, they are very distant from each other. Yes. And they have very tiny molecules. Hormones are very small. And when you consider it like a very small hormone in a 5 liter of blood, it's like maybe a drop of water in an ocean. How could it travel all through the ocean and find the correct place? How could it be possible?
Chemistry.
Except the fact, first of all, the dilution factor isn't anything like as bad as that.
Yeah.
But as I said, again, it doesn't know where it's going. It does work on the fact that the body produces far too much of it. Most of it goes to waste. It travels around the body at random. The only thing that removes that randomness from the system is the target receptors, which cell types are receptive to it. I keep saying this, I know, but they keep saying it.
Okay.
Also, when organ transplant is being done, also it's continues its work in another body, and all the things are the same. This is the creation of.
It only continues its work if the person who receives that organ is on immunosuppressants, because unless it's an identical twin or something that's donated the organ, because unfortunately our body chemistry isn't that harmonious, and if your body senses foreign tissue without the right markers on its surface, then unfortunately it will try and destroy it. So I'm afraid their point really isn't very valid. What makes that any different? I don't know.
Mashallah. Let's continue with proteins. Last week we talked about proteins, and there are preconditions. Gülen talked about the preconditions. I want to mention them very shortly. Firstly, there are 200 amino acids in the nature, but a protein can be formed only the 20 of them. And these 20 of them all have to be left-handed. If right-handed amino acid gets into the protein, it cannot get into the protein. A protein cannot be formed.
Yes. Can I take cover again? We had this yesterday. We've got Kitsch and homochirality in the same room. I want to hide behind something large like a planet.
Yeah, luckily I was just dealing with something in chat, so I didn't notice it. Could someone repeat it?
No. Nobody can repeat what the question was.
I'll defer from the answer.
We've got to hit play on the video, so, okay. But I'm going to get out of the way.
Okay.
Double protection for this one.
It's about the structure of the protein.
It becomes a rubbish.
Yes. Just a molecule, and it has to be break apart.
And these amino acids also have to be bonded by the peptide bonds, and also have to be in linear position. Also, these are the
This is very important.
Oh, you got away with it.
And have to be in right order. If the order of the amino acids changes, a disease occurs. For example, sickle cell anemia.
Yes.
If one amino acid is changed, the place of it, or another amino acid comes, a disease occurs. This is something very harmful.
It depends on where this change takes place. As I said before at the start of this poemage, and I'll say it again, if the amino acid base change is, if you change it with, for example, with, if you change a polar amino acid with another polar amino acid in a key part of the protein, you're not going to change it. If you change an amino acid in a non-essential part of the amino acid, you're not going to change it. The only thing, the only type of change that will affect the protein is if it's in the part that actually matters. And you have to make sure, and it has to be an amino acid changed into a different chemical type of amino acid. It's just basic chemistry. And in the case of sickle cell anemia, they pointed out a specific they pointed out where the amino acid was important for the function.
Something being randomly done in the cell. And let's start with the protein synthesis, how it is being formed. The important thing here is a protein cannot be produced without the help of the other proteins. This is impossible. A protein cannot come into being randomly. This is what evolutionists say. They say that in water, somehow, the lightning came, the tornado came, and protein occurred.
The lightning and tornado came!
It's the Wizard of Oz!
Yes. This is from Friday Night.
I've never heard implications of tornadoes in abiogenesis.
Lightning and a tornado, and then a protein formed.
First of all, proteins, or at least peptides, that say more than one amino acid bonded together, do form spontaneously under abiotic conditions. In other words, you can put some amino acids into water, and if you heat it up and cool it down a lot, then you will start to get short proteins forming, or short peptides forming. Same goes for certain types of electrical discharge, or comet impacts is another one. They've done experiments where they fired a bullet at some amino acids and protein gunk came out. So first of all, there's disingenuous to say that proteins cannot form randomly. Secondly, we don't know exactly the origins of the protein-based metabolism, but to say that proteins only come from proteins may not be true. The best candidate being ribosomes, which are RNA-based ribosomes. Basically, they have a certain amount of catalytic activity, and they are implied in the early stages of life as being the protein factories in cells. I'll calm down now.
This is so funny. First of all, a protein cannot come into being in water because peptide bond cannot be formed in water. This is
Oh, that is the single most stupidest thing I've ever heard in this particular video. What are cells are made of entire, pretty much 70% of my weight, if I got that right? What are they mostly made of? You can say with me, chat room. Water. peptide bonds can be quite readily made in water.
Yeah, I suppose she means, like I said, if you put a load of amino acids into just water on its own, you can't get peptides. But as I said, that's just not true. There's no other way to put it. You can do the experiment and you can find that they do form. What I think she's talking about is that the formation of peptides from amino acids is what's called a condensation reaction, which means that a small molecule, in this case water, is a byproduct of it, and that's released when two amino acids bond. When you break that peptide bond, it's what's known as a hydrolysis reaction, because water is put in to occupy the bonds that are split open. And so what happens is, because this reaction is reversible, if you have a lot of water around, then it kind of favors breaking peptide bonds rather than forming them. But that doesn't mean that it will break them all, because the reactions are going in both ways simultaneously. So you will still end up with peptides, no matter how much water you've got in the system.
And the protein synthesis starts with transcription. Transcription starts in DNA. DNA is inside the nucleus of the cell. But in eukaryotic cells, we have eukaryotic cells, we have a nucleus in our cells, and DNA is inside of it. And in bacteria, they don't have a nucleus, but they DNA again, they are prokaryotic cells. Mm-hmm. Firstly, DNA must be unwinded with some proteins. Yes. This is helicase, and the strand, we know that it is two-stranded.
Yes.
They have to be separated, mm-hmm. so transcription will begin. Why it has to be separated, why transcription starts here? Because it has the instruction guide for protein production.
Yes.
It is coded in the DNA. And this instruction...
That's an interesting thing about helicase as well. If you were to get a piece of string and twist it around itself, and then try and pull the ends apart, what you will find is that the twisting starts to get tighter and tighter and tighter, and it starts to get seriously tangled up and wound up. The same thing actually happens with your DNA. When helicase tries to pull the two strands apart, the coiling in the DNA starts to bunch up, and the only way that that can be rectified, this is mainly a problem with linear DNA, such as those in eukaryotes, but the only way to relieve that tension is to have another enzyme go along and periodically cut the DNA strand and put it back together again, but it allows the twisting to unfold. It seems like a rather bad idea if you are going to design a form of life that you have to create that problem and then also create a solution for it.
Instruction guide has codes, special motifs, and this transcription must start and in that code. Not a code before, not a code after, or else there will be a mutation.
Yes.
And it will be harmful. And when it is opened, the two strands, it has to stay like that. It mustn't wind again, it mustn't close. So single strand binding proteins does this job. They hold the strands, and until the end of the transcription, when the transcription finished, they release and start to wind again.
Yes, but also the DNA doesn't close and wind randomly. They have a structure here. A DNA helix has a golden ratio, like the many things we see in the mm-hmm. nature. Before it's winded, it has a golden ratio. Mm-hmm. But also after the transcription, when it's winded, mm-hmm. it has also a golden ratio. We don't see any mistake here. It's all planned. Yes. It's all calculated. Mashallah. Mm-hmm.
How can it make a calculation?
Oh. Tides come in, tides come out.
Where is the golden ratio? They haven't told us where it is. They told us that DNA has this golden ratio, but they don't tell us where it is.
Because they don't know.
Well, quite. But it's also the fact that the golden ratio as well is just an interesting case in point, because nobody's ever really proven it to be the case. I suspect if you want to pick any ratio or any fraction, you can find plenty of examples of it in nature. I suspect there are all kinds of interesting reasons as to why it might be a useful number in nature and might help with packing things together, you know, seeds in a sunflower or whatever, which is one of the famous examples. But there's never really been any proof that the golden ratio is massively prevalent in nature. It could just be that it's as prevalent as any other ratio.
You said this is very something very important, and evolutions are hiding this information. It was golden ratio, it is unwinded, and it when it is wind again, it is golden ratio again. Who make this calculation inside the nucleus? It cannot make
no
it.
No one!
And proteins cannot make this calculation.
Yes, mashallah. There is a power here, there is an intelligence here who makes the calculation, yes. Mashallah. Yes. Our yes. Lord Allah.
Mashallah. And
holy shit, they just devolved into Masha'Allah. Like, they're just devolving now.
Cell needs the copy of this instruction guide. So they are photocopy machines in the nucleus. These are called polymerase 2 enzymes. Actually, they are also protein. From the start, we are talking about proteins for protein production. First, helicase proteins, then single-strand binding proteins, and also polymerase protein. Still, from here, these are, and I'm talking about as a summary. In details, there are something more. We haven't started the synthesis yet, but there are lots of proteins needed from the beginning.
And also, as you are saying, there are 3 billion nucleotides in the DNA. When you think about the DNA, it is something very tall, and the proteins that are coded in the DNA, the
3 billion is actually the haplotype, and it's not actually that's number of base pairs. Maybe a bit too technical on that.
The genes are very small, generally. Mm-hmm. They're not that much long, because the DNA has the complete information. So we are talking about some of the proteins that can understand the real position of the genes and go directly to the genes and open the double helix and then hold them and then start to read them.
Yes.
How would it be possible? We are told...
I've already addressed this, but as I said, it's just not the case. I told you about transcription factors and how they find their way to the genes that they regulate. The cell makes an excess of them. Most of them go to waste. They will find it just about any point on the DNA, and they slide along it until they find their sequence. And they know when they find their sequence because the sequence contains bases which match with the DNA, or rather which match with the protein sequence, and it forms more bonds. So there's a stronger attraction there. Once that has happened, then that will attract, or sometimes it will block, but usually it attracts or recruits an enzyme, which they just mentioned, the helicase, to open the DNA at that point and then start transcription and so on. But that again is just floating around in the cell, and it will naturally find that transcription factor because it is attracted to it because of basic chemistry. So it really is, I want to say, a completely random system. It's not completely random because, or rather, everything is allowed to mix at random, and then you have to have a system in place to channel that randomness. But it's not that the proteins know where to go. They don't know where to go in the slightest.
Talking about some of the proteins, inorganic, organic, proteins, but not living things we are talking about. But and they cannot, again, this is the same thing that the evolutionists should think, they cannot learn it in time. They have to know how to hold DNA double helix. They cannot learn, try, let's hold like this and let's see what will happen.
It's fatal. They don't have time for this.
Yes, they don't have time, and also when they do it, they should do it in golden ratio.
Yes.
How could it be possible?
Of course, it's not possible according to the thoughts of evolutionists. their ideas are actually ridiculous. I don't want to say about them, but they are ridiculous.
Pot, kettle, black. Yeah, they're talking about this. If all these proteins are conscious, they're not conscious. They're not. But in a way, evolution is playing this kind of let's try and see. Because natural selection, because that's how evolution works. It's random changes, and then the ones that work are selected for, the ones that give it an advantage.
And after this, I want to show you splicing. And you can see in the splicing, there are sometimes excessive information in this mRNA.
Yes.
And if this information goes into ribosome for protein synthesis, there will be problems. These excessive information are called introns.
Yes.
And the needed information are exons.
Actually, I'm sorry to interrupt. No. The introns, they supposed to be they thought that they are not required. Mm-hmm. They are the rubbish DNA, yes. They call it. Mm-hmm. But it is not true. Also, scientists understand that they are required during the fetal development. Mm-hmm. And when the baby is in the mother's mm-hmm. womb, these introns, the places that we don't use, we assume that they are not used in the normal human body now when it grows, they are also essential for the fetal development. Actually, they are not rubbish DNA. It is very important. I just wanted to mention now.
Yes.
And I want to add something. Mm-hmm. If the transcription starts...
Can I just stop there?
Yeah, I was going to say this whole rubbish DNA stuff. Can you explain what she's on about?
I know for introns that some are used. I know hypoplastics is actually just said in the chat. I'll say that again. Some are used, but most aren't for introns. I know... I think she's leaning on alternative splicing, but then again, that's some introns, and that's not most introns. As far as I know, the evolutionary origin of introns are viral DNA, endogenous viral DNA. Maybe Sam might be able to... I may not get that right.
I've never understood retroviral DNA, I'm sorry. Never understood splicing really either. Don't care. It is certainly true that there are plenty of closely related species which have excised introns from their genome. And so the question therefore is, do they really serve any purpose in the organisms that have kept them? And it's difficult to find any reason why they should. So sometimes they are ditched from the genome, so it seems like they could be useless after all.
Base before or after, then the mRNA which is formed will be useless, yes. Mm-hmm. Which is also very important. The mRNA which is produced is formed of a single nucleobases which are in the nucleus, and this is not an easy process.
Yes.
Maybe it looks like a very easy thing, so but it is a very complex process. Mm-hmm.
It's a very easy process. I do it every day without thinking.
There's the processes, yes. And enzymes works better than a high-tech chemistry laboratory.
Yes.
So it is not such easy.
And they are
thing.
Just molecules.
Yes.
Yes. And this splicing is being done with a group of proteins called spliceosome. ATP comes and other parts of the spliceosome comes. This is very complex, very complex, as you can see on the video. And this is not something coming to being randomly. There is a wisdom here. The thought about being random
it's
is
It's not wisdom, it's chemistry.
It's a really bizarre animation.
I know. They recognize a specific sequence.
I have no idea what that animation is really showing.
It's the actual spliceosome.
I know, it's a very strange protein mechanism. It doesn't really show the DNA we are needing here.
And also, maybe it's not... The spliceosome isn't totally proteins. It's actually, as far as I'm aware of, actually mostly RNA.
And ridiculous, as I said. And after it is finished, it has to get outside of the cell. And when it is getting outside of the cell, the nucleus has gates. And these gates are proteins. Again, we see protein here. If these proteins doesn't permit it to get out of the nucleus, it cannot get out. When it is, when it gives permission, it can get out. And when it sees mRNA that is going to ribosome for protein production, protein synthesis, it opens the gate and gets out of it.
Yes.
This is
please don't say, how do you, please don't ask, please don't tell me they say they're saying it's magic here. Something amazing or America that science doesn't understand.
They are like stones, the proteins. They are, they have the same atoms, only structure is different. They are non-living beings.
Yes.
Assume that, for example, on the table we have pen, and suddenly it starts to, it gets up and starts to make some works around the house.
Nothing is ever going to get up anywhere near you.
By Allah. This is the creation of Allah. Because they are non-living beings, But they are, when they are in the cell, they are working. This is very miraculous, mashallah. And next week we will continue about the structure of
the MRI. Can I just stop right here to say that I just want to just go back to respond to the gate, this whole mRNA respond to the gate. I just want to know, if it's so miraculous, then how come virus spiral mRNA can escape from the nucleus? Surely if the all-loving Allah would want to, you know, who loves us, would want to stop that gate from letting viral mRNA out of the nucleus. And second of all, do you want to know how the virus, the mRNA is allowed out of the nucleus? Well, there's during mRNA processing, it's capped by a guanine, if I'm quite right, facing from instead of a 5' prime to 3', prime, 3' prime to 5', prime, and it also has, I think it's doubly phosphorylated. But like, I can't remember too back into specifics, I just know they... And the poly A tail, of course.
Think about that.
True. And when the mRNA hits the gate, it's the protein cap that allows it to pass through.
All right, done.
did she say they were going to talk about next time?
So, dear sisters, would you like to add something? No, thank you. So, dear brothers and sisters, today we have come to the end of our program. Inshallah, we will meet another
program. Thanks. Salaam alaikum.
It's over.
Oh my God. We have no idea. For the last like half hour, I'm just kind of sitting here rocking back and forth, just going, please make it stop. Please just make it stop.
Don't talk about how this should be going door to door, cells asking about this and that again. There you go. Another live pony just completed.
Huzzah?
Yeah, and just in case we get confident there, we're doing this again next weekend, kind of sort of to take us up to Christmas, and Eric Hoven's getting the treatment then.
Ooh,
fucking
treatment.
And so
we've already done his dad. Doesn't that count? So it's just a copy paste.
And we're going to be inviting as many people as we can along to that one to have a good laugh. And that's going to take us up to Christmas. So.
Do you think he'll open his gate for my special key?
Oh, good. So I don't know.
We mock both sexes here.
Yeah, see, we're close to 8:30. I don't know, is there anyone in the room wants to call in? Or any of you guys have any further points on that video?
For about 2.5 hours.
There was, when I joined, there was some discussion about trilobites. Were they talking about the complexity of the eye by any chance?
Yes, they were.
Because Marty said that the trilobites were a bit of a disaster. I don't think that that's really true. At least for a long period of time, they were one of the most diverse clades of organisms on the planet. They came out in a tremendous variety of forms. They go into a bit of a decline in the Devonian, then the Carboniferous, and then they finally, the last few surviving species, cop it at the end of the Permian in the biggest mass extinction of the lot, which is half a billion years. As for their eyes are rather interesting. It's odd that they are often held up as being greatly more complex than ours. First of all, they are... polyprismatic, they're rather like a fly, they're compound eyes, or whatever you want. And you don't get a terribly clear image out of them. The brain does a decent job enough of interpreting them, but it's better if you can have one big eye and you can get a much clearer image of the world. You have fewer blind spots and so on. Mm-hmm. But they, for reasons presumably of armament, had lenses that were made of calcite, which is one of the main crystalline forms of calcium carbonate. And calcite has a really strange property that it splits incoming light into two. And that's bad news if you want to make an eye. And so they had to have a second lens behind that, which they made of magnesium carbonate, to correct the image. So you could talk about their complexity, but again, it rather stinks of bad design that they would even try to use a material which is a really bad lens material for making lenses. So, to be honest, I think creationists should be
trying to ignore the trilobite eye as an example of design.
Kurt Schenningtard.
The stupid, it burns.
I was going to ask Sound of Silence, do you want to shout out your charity from yesterday?
Yes, I should. I should. I've lost a bit of paper about it. Yes, yesterday Skeptic TV held a 12-hour charity show to raise money for Centre About Science. Centre About Science is a primarily UK-based organisation which whacks anti-science claims on the head, tries to keep the scientific community a safe and legal-free zone to try and keep science open and honest. They are currently running a campaign called Ask for Evidence, and this is what we were supporting specifically yesterday. Ask for Evidence is an incentive whereby if people come across what they believe to be an outrageous scientific claim, then they can fill out a postcard, for example, with the details of it on and send it to Centre About Science so that they can investigate it, and hopefully if it is erroneous they can get that claim removed so that fewer people are misled. People can also consult them if they're, for example, if they're asked for evidence of a particular claim and they get a load of papers spewed out at them, they can go to Centre About Science and have them honestly and independently interpret them for them so that people know that whether or not the information they're being given is accurate. They do a whole load of good work. They're also going to move this campaign over to the United States of America early next year. I think February is the date that they set for it. So, if you wanted to donate, we'll try and get a link in the chat. In fact, one boy, if you're in the chat, could you be kind enough to sort that out for me, please? We have set up a Just Giving account whereby people in the UK can... Oh, hang on a minute, what's the... Okay, is anybody going to get on that? But yes, we have a Just Giving account, so people in the United Kingdom can donate there. You can donate by text. If you send a message beginning STVC99, then the pound sign, and then the amount you would like to donate up to £10, and then you send that to 70070. People outside the UK, you can donate straight to them at senseaboutscience.org. I will get that donation link in a jiffy. But thank you very much, Trinity Logic, for allowing me to mention it here. I should have mentioned as well, we will be doing an eBay auction, and hopefully those items will be going online tomorrow. If you check out our blog, sketchytv.net, then we will alert you as soon as this is live.
All right, and thank you for turning up today.
Thank you very much for having me. It's always a pleasure to do
Will you be here next weekend?
If I can stomach it. I don't know where I'll be next weekend, but yes, I'd like to be there if I can.
Awesome. Well, I know pretty much all my team want to be there for the Hovind.
Yeah. Oh, bless Eric. He's so good looking in a very oddly oddly shaped head kind of way.
All right. I think we can wrap up there on that note. All right. Yeah. Like I say, that's, we've been at this for 2.5 hours. It's actually wrapped up ahead of schedule for once, because it's usually like... 3 hours to every hour, so this should have been 4 hours, but crikey.
Huzzah!
I think it was just they repeated themselves so much, these girls.
Yeah, we just let them go for a while, just going, what the fuck? It's just the same thing over and over again.
Yeah. So, thank you everyone for turning up, and we are back, like I said, same time next weekend. We're going to try and get some guests from the past on in the year. So that came out wrong. We're going to get some guests from earlier on in the year to come along with us and join in
the
live poll.
Not pasta in the ear.
Yes.
Because I like getting pasta in my ear.
All right. And also, everyone, there is a poll running right now. You can vote for your favourite Trolling with Logic moment of 2012. There's some good options there, and we'll announce the result of that poll for our New Year's show. So, again, thanks to my team. Thank you, Penguin.
Oh, thank you very much. I forgot that was me. Yes. Right. My pleasure.
Thank you, Riddler.
Always a pleasure.
Thank you, Lucius.
Yeah. Right. It was fun.
And thank you, Kitch.
Thank you for having me on. on. Apparently I'm a Batman. Because of my fuck-up, I am now a Batman character.
All right. All right, we'll see you all next week. Thanks for tuning in. Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.